Hi, Colin with FutureEnergy.com here at Lafayette College. We're here with Dr. John Kane and Dr. Jimmy Hoffman talking about some of the research they've been doing on nuclear energy. So, Dr. Kane, if I'm driving by a city and I see a plant with one of those huge smokestacks, what's going on in there making all that smoke?
Well, that's not smoke. It's water vapor. Those smokestacks are actually cooling towers. That's a nuclear fission plant. In plants like this, energy is made through the splitting of one large atom.
Could you be more specific?
Well, a neutron is added to a large atom, such as uranium-235, breaking it into two smaller atoms. As the atom breaks, a great deal of energy is released.
Like how much energy?
Fission of a single uranium atom produces around 10 million times as much energy as the burning of a carbon atom. This makes fission a very efficient form of energy generation.
Wow, that sounds great. But how does this energy get to powering my microwave or my desk lamp or anything for that matter?
Well, after we split the uranium atom, all of the energy is released as heat. In a reactor, the heat is used to evaporate water and generate steam. This steam then turns turbines, creating electricity. This is how a nuclear fission plant powers the common household appliances that you would find in an average home.
And that sounds all wonderful, but I've heard these fission plants can be a real danger to the environment and the public, like that one in Japan. What was it, Fukushima a couple years ago? Do you have anything to say about this, Dr. Hoffman?
Yeah, that sounds pretty dangerous. And while that may be true, an alternative form of nuclear energy is readily being perfected. Nuclear fusion harnesses the energy released when two smaller nuclei combine to form one larger, more stable nucleus. There are two techniques presently being used in the energy industry. The first being magnetic confinement, which uses strong magnetic fields to align the plasma particles. The second process is known as inertial confinement. Inertial confinement condenses the plasma state reactants using powerful lasers in order to reduce the reaction time. These large quantities of heat energy are transferred to water, which covers the reaction chamber. This water is vaporized and turned into mechanical energy via a turbine. This turbine spins a generator that produces electrical energy, which can be used for many practical devices. Both these technologies are still in the development process at the moment.
Still being developed, huh? What's in the way?
Most of the reaction conditions required for fusion are limiting the widespread use of this technology. For the fusion reaction to occur, the reactants must be in the state of matter known as plasma. To achieve this state, the reactants must be under extremely high temperature and pressure at the time of the reaction.
So when it is developed, how readily available would this energy from nuclear fusion be?
Very readily. The base fuels of fusion are hydrogen, deuterium, and tritium. Another benefit of fusion is the products are not radioactive.
Not radioactive? So does that mean that there'll be much less waste?
Fusion is much safer than fission, as it lacks the possibility of a meltdown and does not produce radioactive waste.
It sounds great. What do you think, Dr. Kane? Do you think this is the future of nuclear energy, or do you think we're going to be sticking with fission?
I'm very optimistic in the future of fusion. I really think that it's much safer than fission, and in time, we'll find much better ways to use it.
Right, well, we're all out of time. This has been Dr. Jimmy Hoffman and Dr. John Kane at Lafayette College. We just talked about fission, and our next podcast is going to be an extension off this, talking about the use of molten salt in nuclear fission reactors. It's another technology being discussed by transatomic power, and it supposedly lets off much less radioactive waste and is completely safe to the public with no chance of a meltdown due to the reactor being made of molten salt rather than water as a cooling factor, which would mean that if in the case of a meltdown, the cooling reactant would be turned into a solid rather than a vapor and would not lead to an explosion, meaning that this could be made in much more rural areas with no noticeable threat to the public. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for watching.
All right, thank you.